everybody. Bill Buckmaster along with my friend Ray Allen, engineering and producing today's show. What is it about Thanksgiving dinner? Just looking at it, you gain 2 to 3 pounds. It's just, you get on the scale on Wednesday. Oh, that's not too bad. I haven't been eating much this week. But then get on the scale today, and it's like 2 or 3 pounds. What in the world? Well, it was a delicious Thanksgiving meal anyway, despite the pounds. Hope you had a great Thanksgiving. We are rolling here, getting ready to get into the holidays. It's Monday, November the 28th, 2016. We're coming to you from Tucson's Voice, AM 1030 KVOI, and we've got worldwide live listening on my website, buckmastershow.com. And of course, we also have fine website with live streaming, kvoi.com. Our Buckmaster Show live line, 790-2040. If you'd like to join in our Monday political face-off with Don Jorgensen and John Munger today. We also invite you to become a friend of our program on Facebook. Still some places left before we hit that 5,000 mark. So if you'd like to join us, love to have you. And we do Twitter at Buckmaster Show. Our Monday political face-off features today our commentator team, John Munger, Tucson attorney, former president of the Arizona Board of Regents. In 2010, John threw his hat in the ring and ran for governor as a Republican. And with us today, Don Jorgensen. Don is the former chair of the Democratic Party here in Pima County. John and Don, have a great weekend for both of you, I hope.
Terrific weekend.
Very nice. Thanks, Bill.
The Monday Political Face-Off, sponsored by Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing, family-owned and run since 1985. Moe has a great operation over there. I was over on Saturday to visit Moe. Had some framing needs for him, and they'll take care of it. I know it will be in very good hands. Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing, Fort Lowell and Dodge, and at moesgallery.com, and they're on Facebook. John and Don, a very divided America, a new CNN poll showing 85% of the nation very divided, sharply split. And a slight majority want to end the Electoral College. But, John, that's not about to happen, is it?
That is not about to happen. That, you know, what people don't understand is this republic would not exist but for the Electoral College. The small states at the Constitutional Convention, the large states wanted the vote to be by popular vote, and the small states said, no way, we're doing that. This is the United States of America, and each state needs to be represented by state, and the big state said, no, we want it by population. So a deal was struck to have the Electoral College, where the states got represented by their two senators, the number for the two senators, and the popular vote got represented as a compromise through the congressional seats. That's why we have 11 electoral votes in Arizona, counting for two senators plus 9 congressmen. And the specific reason was that the cultures in the big states are different than the cultures in the small states. That was true then. It's true now. And to change that, you would need a constitutional convention, which requires either 2/3 or 3/4.
It would be more than 30 states.
Right? And 30, there's not going to be enough small states to pass that. Why would we?
But that's hard to take, Don Jorgensen, for the party that came up short, like your party, the Democratic Party, the second time in 16 years that Democrats were the top vote getters but did not win the presidency.
Right.
And people around the world that don't understand this Electoral College have a difficult time understanding that it's not the person that gets the most votes.
True. The founders had an additional rationale, too, at the time, and that was the belief that the populace were not as educated with regard to the candidates and the issues, and that the representatives, as John just described, were in a better position to make that decision, certainly. So that part of it's outdated. One other factor is that there is another way in which the popular vote could become predominant, and that is if states pass a law that requires their electors to vote based on the outcome of the popular vote in each state. There are a number of states
that
have said
they didn't. Would that be easier to change?
Absolutely. It would not take a constitutional convention. It's just a certain amount of states, and that certain amount would be a number of states that equal 270 electoral votes if they were to pass such a law. And there's been discussion about this. Some states have even voted to do that if it ever got to that certain amount. That would be another path to it. The opposition, as John describes, is strong. It would come from those smaller states who actually have an overrepresentation now because of the way the electoral votes are determined, meaning that each of those electors represent a smaller number of voters than electors in larger states.
Well,
let's
keep in mind two things. Donald Trump, for example, campaigned according to the rules. The rules were how many electoral votes can you get? He did not campaign, for example, in California at all. He lost California overwhelmingly, but he knew he was going to lose California. Now, if we'd have had a popular vote election, Donald Trump would have been in California. He would have campaigned in California. He would not have lost California by the huge number of votes that he lost. He would have picked up a large portion of what he lost because he would have campaigned there. So he campaigned under the rules. The rules said ignore California, and he did. If we were to change the rules, he would have campaigned in California, and he would have picked up more popular vote there. So you can't say, well, he lost the popular vote. He campaigned according to the electoral vote rules, where you don't campaign. He didn't campaign in New York. He didn't campaign in Massachusetts. He would have campaigned in those states that have large numbers of population, and he would have won a lot of those votes. So you can't sit here and say, well, he would have lost all the popular vote in California that he lost. He would have won a lot of those popular votes had he campaigned there. And so you can't say a guy who campaigned on an electoral vote set of rules would have lost the popular vote because he would have campaigned differently.
What do you think about that, Don?
Well, that's an assumption, and you cannot make an assumption either way. Both candidates did campaign according to the current rules. Donald Trump did win the electoral vote, lost the popular vote by a greater margin than any of the other four had ever lost it, as we just described, by, I think it's approaching, it could approach 2.5 million votes.
There have been four candidates that have won the popular vote but lost the electoral.
Right.
And you're saying this is the most votes.
This is the largest disparity in that. So what that means in terms of today is the claim that he has a great mandate from the people is not accurate. Now, he's won the electoral votes under the rules, but there's going to be a tremendous amount of scrutiny from both sides. Those that, as you started out by talking about this great divide,
yes.
And so there's a lot of skepticism as to whether he'll be able to bring the country together as he claims to be able to, given all of his campaign rhetoric and things that he said and promised to do. And there's a lot of pressure on him from the right, let alone the extreme right, which is a whole other issue, about whether he's going to keep his campaign promises.
Well, he'll keep his campaign promises. You watch.
All right.
The press loves to speculate on that, but Donald Trump will keep the great bulk of his campaign promises. Don't forget that if you have states like California, I would love it. I would love it if California did what Don said and say, look, we'll allocate our electoral votes based upon how many people voted for Donald Trump versus Hillary Clinton. Because Donald Trump won a lot of areas of California.
All right, let's go.
And we would have picked up more electoral votes in that way.
All right, let's go to the live line, 790-2040. Ingrid, you're with us on this Monday afternoon. Hey, Ingrid.
Hi. Could we go back to the beginning when you talked about control of a state, that we're a republic and that states need to be represented? I think of this more as power centers wanting to keep control. I do believe that's why the Electoral College was actually set up. Certain groups became very powerful, and that was considered when the Constitution and so forth was being written. Now, you take a state like Arizona, as far as I know, it's fairly it has very low-density population, but it's a big state. And you talk about cultures and so forth. Sounds to me like these are all excuses, and they're really not very good ones either. And I'd like to add also...
So you're for the, you would like to see just the popular vote?
Yes. Now, isn't it a felony to in some states to not abide by how the voters voted on the part of the
Electoral College?
Right. And also...
Real quickly, please.
Yes, you talk about violating rules. Are the campaign rules being violated, or are strategies being violated?
Okay.
Well, I don't know what that last question was, but all I can tell you is if you read back in the Federalist Papers, the argument was for the Electoral College that the small states said, look, we are sovereign states being asked to join a federal union. And as states, we want equal representation with the big states. The big states said, no, we want it by popular vote. I got to tell you, there's a major cultural difference between Arizona and California, for example. I'm from Iowa. There's a huge cultural difference between Iowa and California and New York. Mm-hmm. Why would the people in Iowa ever want to turn this over to a popular vote that would consistently be governed largely by the coastal states? Why would they ever do that? And why should they do that?
Don, real quickly, and I'm going to take a break. Well, and Wayne, we'll get to you after the break.
The reason they should do that, if you prefer democracy, is that each person's vote should weigh the same. And in the current system, it doesn't.
Well, we are not a pure democracy.
You have smaller states who are overrepresented.
We are a republic.
We're a republic. We're a democratic republic. Mm-hmm. And what people fail to understand is there will not be a republic if this rule gets changed, because that was a fundamental compromise made in forming the republic we have today.
All right, we'll be right back. It is the Monday Political Face-Off presented by Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing. When we come back, Wayne, I know you're holding. If you'll stick around, we'll get to you right after the break.
Did you know that this year you can give more charitable tax credit dollars than ever before and claim a dollar-for-dollar credit on your Arizona state taxes? The Arizona Charitable Tax Credit Coalition, a group of 31 local charities, encourages you to put your state tax dollars to work in our community. It's easy. Feel good when you give at givelocalkeeplocal.org. That's givelocalkeeplocal.org.
Vero Amore is Tucson's only certified authentic Neapolitan wood-fired pizza, where every flavorful pizza, pasta, panini, and salad is homemade using the finest local and imported ingredients. Vero Amore, Plaza Palomino and on Dove Mountain Boulevard in Marana, plus a full catering menu and mobile pizza truck for parties and events. Vero Amore on the web at veroamore.com.
Traveling is more than just the flight. It's the whole experience. In money saved, in time saved. And with almost 60 flights a day taking off from Tucson International Airport nonstop to San Diego, Los Angeles, Las Vegas, Oakland, San Francisco, Salt Lake City, Denver, Portland, Seattle, Dallas, Houston, Minneapolis, Chicago, Atlanta, New York, and easy one-stop connections to hundreds of destinations around the world, you can get there from here. Travel smart. Travel TUS and flytucson.com. It's the way to go.
Cushman & Wakefield PICOR is Tucson's leading independently owned full-service commercial real estate company. Founded in 1985, Cushman & Wakefield PICOR offers leasing, sales, and property management for industrial, office, medical, retail, land, and investment properties in Tucson and Sonora, Mexico. Visit our website at PICOR.com for the latest news from Tucson's commercial real estate sector. That's PICOR.com. Call us at 748-7100. As a small business owner, I know the importance of a certified public accountant you can trust. That's why I recommend my CPA, Michael C. Flowers of Flowers, Rieger & Associates, proud sponsors of the Buckmaster Show. Located at 2919 East Broadway and on the web at flowersrieger.com or follow the live link on buckmastershow.com. The Regional Transportation Authority funds new sidewalks, pedestrian crossings, and bike lanes across the region to enhance our regional mobility and safety. The RTA's 20-year plan also includes roadway improvement projects and expanded transit services to provide added convenience and accessibility. The RTA continues to deliver its promise to you to make our region a better place to live, work, and play. Better roads, better transit, better choices, a better future. More at rtamobility.com.
The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun cover two of Arizona's most desirable communities. The newspapers reach more than 75% of the communities each week, with a combined population of more than 50,000. The Green Valley News also publishes a dozen magazines each year, and both newspapers publish up-to-the-minute local news online at gvnews.com. The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun, it's all right here.
This is Bill Buckmaster. Coming up Tuesday at noon on Buckmaster, we'll meet the new chair of the State Commerce Committee in the Arizona Senate. Also, the food bank has a favor to ask of Tucsonans. Buckmaster airs on Tucson's Voice, AM 1030 KVOI. We have worldwide live listening, our podcasts, and the complete show archive on my website. That's buckmastershow.com. Welcome back. It is the Buckmaster Show, 1221 on this Monday afternoon, the Monday political face-off presented by Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing. Moe believes in spirited political discussion, and we thank him for his support, and we try to deliver on what he wants, and certainly that's what I want as well, and we're getting it today from Don Jorgensen and John Munger. Wayne, you've been waiting very patiently at 790-2040. You're up to the plate. Go ahead.
Well, I enjoyed the messages that you have for your sponsors, so I was happy to wait.
Well, thank you very much.
And
please support them.
It's interesting that you mention up to the plate. You know, the fact is that, for example, in the World Series, they determine the winner by the number of games they win, not by the number of runs they score or how many RBI there are out there or how many hits a team gets in total. And that's just the rules of the game. And the thing that really frustrates me about my friends on the left is that they do this country a disservice by trying to change the rules or create upset over the rules, which are the rules, and not even take a statesmanlike position that, well, these are the rules. I guess we're going to have to do better next time with the Electoral College, or maybe let's change the rules for the process. But when I hear something like, "Oh, this is outdated. This is improper because it was done so many years ago," it's a disservice, and it's frankly phony, and it really bothers me a lot.
Oh, okay, thank you.
Great
Wayne.
Points, Wayne.
Thanks, Wayne. Don, what do you think about?
Well,
what
I think
Wayne
if it were only folks on the left expressing these concerns, Wayne would be absolutely right. However, you have folks like, oh, I don't know, the president-elect Donald Trump, leaders in Arizona, Republicans in Congress and around the country, who are asking the same questions. No one is saying that the current system isn't legitimate. It is our system. It is founded based on our Constitution. Everyone is played by the same rules and understand that quite well. But it's certainly appropriate to ask the question, does this best is this the best form of elections for the U.S. today? And when you have folks from both sides asking that question, it's appropriate to take a look at that. Much as the questions have arisen, frankly, about the vote counts among the different states right now. And so you have both parties who have said it is worth taking a look at these processes in Wisconsin
who,
as the recount's going to happen.
Who on the Republican side has been saying that, Don?
Well, you had, a gentleman running for president who said that the elections have been rigged and we ought to take a look at all
he
of it.
He didn't say that we ought to go to the popular vote. He said the elections have been rigged.
You're confusing the two issues.
Totally different
point. Those are two separate issues.
He didn't say that he ought to go to the popular vote. I don't think you can name one Republican.
Donald Trump.
Who has ever said that we ought to go to the popular vote.
Donald Trump.
He never said that.
Yes, he did.
You don't have one quote that Donald Trump. Saying the elections were rigged is different than saying we ought to go to a popular vote.
But John, Donald Trump did tweet that there were, 2 million illegal votes in this election.
Yeah. So what?
I think Don is trying to say, and I don't want to put words in your mouth, that he's questioning
he's
the results.
He's questioned both. These are two separate issues.
Yes.
But what John has said incorrectly is that Donald Trump never questioned the Electoral College. And he did last year said that we ought to get rid of the Electoral College.
Well,
he had said that. So there are Republicans as well who have questioned it. With regard to the election and now the current
the
recount,
results of the election.
He has also said, obviously, the elections are rigged and, of course, not expecting perhaps that he would win. And so he has stopped saying that. But when there have been so many questions about the vote, when mm-hmm. there have been so many questions about Russians hacking our elections and some evidence that that exists.
I'd like you to show me that quote that where Donald Trump ever said that we ought to go to the popular vote.
Well,
I'd like to
again,
see that quote.
I know you're trying to distract from the current issue, so let me finish my point here. When you have so many questions about the voting process that have come from both sides, it's
they
only right that we take
sides.
A look.
I dispute that. They haven't come. They're coming from the left,
and,
pretty
and
much
from
the
your
left.
President-elect who said that the election was rigged.
That is not the same as saying he supports the popular vote.
All right.
And we need
separate
to
issue,
that is fuzzy thinking. I'm sorry.
Thank you, Ray. Ray did his homework here. He says Trump had said we should fix the Electoral College. Apparently he did say something.
Say fixing the Electoral College doesn't mean we go to a popular vote.
Okay. All right. We've got two calls on hold right now. Which is first here, right? Cynthia? All right. We'll take Cynthia first. Go ahead.
Okay. Thank you. I just wanted to say for people who want to get rid of the Electoral College, they might as well get rid of the U.S. Senate, too, because it's based on the same rights.
Exactly. Well put.
Eliminate state sovereignty altogether, and it's a path towards a central omnipotent government.
That is well put. I hadn't thought of that point. Might as well get rid of the U.S. Senate because it's not all by Democratic vote.
All right. Richard is next. Go ahead, Richard.
Well, thank you, Bill. Great, great debate. Very informative from these knowledgeable people.
But
the main issue here is Donald Trump. And the problem is we all know he's mentally, morally, and temperamentally unfit to be president. The fact is, he could wreck our economy in 6 months with his tariffs. He's not fit to have the nuclear codes in his hand. The issue now is, Bill, how are we going to get rid of him before he wrecks our country or the planet?
This
man is mentally ill.
That's just obvious. Political spin and isn't even worth a response. The American public.
I didn't vote for either one of them. This guy's mentally ill.
That's your opinion. The American public elected him through the system that we have. And, a lot of us lived through with a lot of pain, lived through the Obama system. You will live through the administration. You will live through the Trump administration. And I suggest to you, and we'll bet you a nickel, that Donald Trump will be validated in the next election system where we will pick up more seats in the U.S. Senate and we will hold our own in the House, if not pick up seats. And the American public will validate Donald Trump. Now, if you think the entire American public is stupid, so be it. I'm not prepared to say that the entire American public is stupid.
And we did have one of our listeners who emailed saying the Arizona House voted last year to go to a popular vote for whatever that is worth.
Popular vote
so
for
I guess
what?
John is saying the Republican majority is stupid.
Well, for a national, I know, state. It's that, just
that's for the state. That's not the electoral system.
Okay.
And the lady was right. I can't remember her name. You might as well get rid of the U.S. Senate.
That was Cynthia.
Cynthia was right. Then if we're going to do that, then we get rid of the U.S. Senate. Why have the states represented? What people have forgotten is we have 50 sovereign states. The only powers they've given, limited powers in the Constitution of the federal government, are supposed to be very limited. All of the other powers belong to the states. And the reason we have a U.S. Senate is because the states are sovereign entities and wanted to be equally represented. This popular vote thing is something that I'm not prepared to give in to the cultures of a few states who have a whole lot of people and their culture. I'm not prepared to give to that.
Okay, Don Jorgensen, you're
well,
going to
I think John has made it clear that the Republicans, like John, are very frightened of the majority and the popular vote.
I'm
and
frightened of the cultures. I'm frightened of the cultures in these huge states.
Okay,
and just to correct, here you have a sovereign state, Arizona, a Republican-led House of Representatives who voted in favor of the popular vote for the presidential election.
Mm-hmm. No, they didn't. They voted in favor of popular votes in our legislature. That is different than saying...
That's what we already have, so check that, the facts, John.
Well, you check your facts, because the legislature never endorsed going to the popular vote for an electoral system. Never. Ever.
All right. I look forward to the next time.
Yeah, the next time.
Again, we can get back to facts.
Okay. Don Jorgensen, thank you, Don, for coming in. John Munger, thank you very much.
Thank you.
All right. The Monday Political Face-Off, presented by Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing. Family-owned and run since 1985, Moe specializing in custom frame mirrors, art for your walls, picture framing, and hanging services. Moe's Gallery, Fort Lowell and Dodge, and at moesgallery.com. We'll be right back. The excitement is building for the grand opening in early 2017 for the Twisted Tandoor. The legendary Indian food truck will now have a permanent brick-and-mortar home at Swan and Camp Lowell Drive. The menu will be an expansion of the Indian classic offerings from the original Twisted Tandoor food truck. The Twisted Tandoor, coming in early 2017 at 4660 East Camp Lowell Drive. Business owners and managers, upgrade your workforce through training customized to meet your needs. Pima Community College offers affordable, specialized training for companies large and small. Instruction is delivered how, when, and where you want it, whether online, at your business, or a customized combination. Pima Community College instructors make training relevant with a focus on today's real-world business needs and measurable success. Learn more at 206-6593, 206-6593.
The Southern Arizona News Examiner, reporting from a different perspective, featuring regional, national, and international news, local opinion, and views from top national columnists, business and technology news, auto reviews, books, and the box office, plus sports and a look back at the Old West. The Southern Arizona News Examiner, reporting from a different perspective. Free subscriptions at soaznewsx.com.
If you're searching for that special one-of-a-kind item, may I suggest Adobe House Antiques. It has a vast collection and variety of antiques, lighting, and fine art. In addition to the interior space, a large outdoor location offers an extensive collection of vintage patio furniture, exterior lighting, and ironwork. Come see Penny at 2700 North Campbell, 325-9439, or on the web at adobehouseantiques.com.
Are you a landlord by choice or by force? Experiencing a job transfer and don't know what to do with your current house? Want to move but can't sell your current house? Hello, my name is Ken Adams, co-owner of Rincon Ventures Property Management. Rincon Ventures has a fully automated accounting process. electronic payments, and 24-hour access to your accounts. With some of the lowest rates in Tucson, Rincon Ventures has grown rapidly in this down economy. Let us show you why. Give us a call at 881-2258 right now and experience the difference. Rincon Ventures, where service is a fact, not another empty promise. 881-2258.
Experience the best of the Canadian Rocky Mountains with the rail journey on Rocky Mountaineer. You'll travel alongside the powerful Kicking Horse River and pass by monumental landmarks from the early days of the National Railway. On this legendary route, you'll see postcard images around each bend, including stays in picturesque Lake Louise, with scenic tours of Jasper National Park, and much more. Contact Bon Voyage Travel to plan your Rocky Mountaineer rail journey today. Bon Voyage Travel, your travel experts.
Welcome back. It is the Buckmaster Show on a Monday afternoon. My thanks to Jan and Jack, the owners of Green Things. They gave my wife and I a beautiful tour of greenhouse after greenhouse filled. It was a sea of color of poinsettias over at Green Things, 3384 East River Road. We took home a 4-foot-tall poinsettia that looks very, very nice. In our living room, you can do the same by visiting Green Things just west of the intersection of Dodge and River, just west of the Brandy Fenton Park. GreenThingsAZ.com. They have all you need when it comes to decorating the house with some beautiful plants and poinsettias. Let's go now on the live line without further ado to Mexico City, the Federal District of the Republic of Mexico, and Keith Rosenblum is the Buckmaster Show Mexico contributor for us, and he writes about the border for several publications, including Inside Tucson Business. He is the former senior border reporter for the Arizona Daily Star and the Arizona Republic. Mr. Rosenblum, I presume, did you have a safe flight?
Mr. Buckmaster, we're going to school the Tucson people today on what's going on in Mexico. Mm-hmm. And yes, a very very good flight from Hermosillo to Mexico City, and I'm now on the streets, as you would want me, of Mexico City.
And what is the mood on the ground, as they say, has Mexico's love affair with the United States soured because we have elected Donald Trump as president?
I will say that your segue to me should not be French. You should not be having a further adieu. You should come up with something in Spanish. And then I will say that there's probably 120 million Mexicans, and my guess is there's 121 different moods of attitudes toward the United States or attitudes toward Cuba. What I will say is that this is that kind of trepidation period where you see, which we're waiting for in the U.S. I don't think Mexico's any different. As long as people are sane thinkers, they're wondering the same thing, like exactly what is President Trump going to do? Is he going to make good on his word? Is he going to fill the border with more of the people that I see all the time when I cross, who speak English better than they do Spanish and who have been sent out during the Obama years? Or is he going to take a step back and say that was just a campaign hyperbole? So what you have is let's just call it, the best word really is trepidation, or just this period where, whoa, what's the guy going to do, which I think we're wondering about in the States as well. So preparation, yes. What might happen in the six Mexican border states, there's four U.S. border states and there's six Mexican border states. If the president makes good on his pledges, this will be a very freaky year to come.
Anti-Trump protests have not materialized as they have in Europe, in Mexico, have they?
You know, I think it's a curiosity. And I would say this, Mexico and the rest of Latin America have lots of experiences with people in the mold of a Donald Trump. Now I regret that I didn't actually show up at my Latin American study classes in college, but there's plenty of strongmen, populists who have made it to the peak of power, Hugo Chavez, Alfredo Stroessner, Salvador Allende, lots of people who are in that category. And I think the most remarkable thing, if I had to, I try to talk to different levels of people in Mexico, from the poorest to the richest and people in between, or just, you know, casual conversations. And what really strikes me is did you really elect somebody the likes of whom we know about? In other words, they look to the U.S. As more of a courteous or civil debate. Whoever, you know, out debates the other person is going to win. So the idea that we have somebody who really did make it to the presidency on the strength of lots of populist promises is puzzling. That would be puzzling to people. Like, how did that happen at the United States of America? And that's what really remains. And this, by the way, will affect, my guess is that for the 2018 Mexican presidential election, whatever President Trump does, will also affect where the country goes starting in 2018. But obviously, it'll affect the 2 years before 2018. But definitely, whoever gets the six-year term starting in the summer of 18.
Keith Rosenblum is with us from Mexico City. Keith, the whole talk about NAFTA perhaps being going bye-bye or major revisions is very troubling to a lot of business people along the border, isn't it?
Same thing. Same thing. Is it really going to undo these years of economic blending, which, by the way, excluded labor? And for a lot of Mexicans, you know what? The jobs that left Indiana or Ohio or the rest of the U.S. came to Mexico, and if they came to Mexico, they came in a default way. They would have gone somewhere else. At least when they came to Mexico, a lot of that money goes back into the U.S. for parts purchasing or for other logistic purposes. And then the money goes back also, which I want to tell the people who run Tucson Premium Outlets or Elcon or any of the other, or Arizona Restaurant Supply, anybody who does business, a lot of that money is from the industry of and produce of northern Mexico. So undo NAFTA, number one, I don't think it's going to happen. I think President Trump is going to realize that basically what you need is for the U.S. to prepare itself in other ways. But I think it would be stunning if he actually went and revisited the agreement itself or the tariff structure. Also, Bill, I want to ask you for a favor. May I make may I pass on something real quick? I'm the first on your show and elsewhere to criticize Customs and Border Protection. Mm-hmm. And just very quickly, I work with the Mexican bus company, TAP Royal.
Yes.
And I want to say that Acting Director Joe Agustini, Mr. I believe it's Campos, and also Agent Armendariz. There was an issue the other day at the port of entry involving the buses and weights, and I just have never, it's so rare to deal with civil servants of that category that reacted super quickly to not what was a crisis, but did affect the flow of people coming from south to north. And as much as I've been a critic, I want to pass on that the people who are in charge of commerce at the port of entry at Mariposa did a spectacular job on heading off a really potentially nasty situation. So that's my aside today.
Okay, a big shout out to them. Now, what about the reaction of the death of Fidel Castro? Mexico and Cuba had pretty friendly relations, correct? And do have friendly relations.
I'm watching Mexican TV right now, and they're interviewing Mario Vargas Llosa, the Peruvian Nobel Prize winner. And the headline under it is, Castro, no se observará la historia. History is not going to absolve this man. So there you have one view.
Yeah.
On the other hand, you had Mexico has been trading with Cuba for a long time. Cuba has sent a lot of its exiles here, as it did to Miami. There's a population that shares the same extremes as we do of appreciation for a guy that did something, and also a condemnation of somebody who's held a country in the dark ages. So I don't think that there's a single perspective. It's certainly the socialism that Castro implemented in or communism/culture that he implemented in Cuba, there's a lot of Mexicans who in their day would have liked to have seen the same model here. So there's a kind of a romantic or a wistfulness for, oh, you know, too bad that didn't work. And there was a period where Mexico was actually considered to be in Cuba's camp politically. So I would say, again, I would say that it's kind of fun to see, as we see in the U.S. with so many issues dividing us 51-49 or 50-50, you know, across the spectrum, local issues and national issues. I would say that the Mexican take on it is 50-50. People that are, and by the way, the Mexicans, Mexico, and especially Merida and the southeastern tip of Mexico, have been the jump-off places for people that wanted to avoid the embargo or still wanted to trade with Cuba.
That was my next point.
And so
Yeah, go ahead.
A lot of the Cuban influence in the country, you could still buy Cuban cigars. I remember when you would go to Nogales and you could actually buy Cuban cigars, but you weren't allowed, customs would take them from you, and a lot of other products as well. But this is going to be, I think, and I'm not sure, I think there's a couple of flights a day, several flights a day actually, from Mexico City Airport, where I am right now, to Havana. And I have a hunch that the time for bilateral trade between Mexico, between Cuba and Mexico, it's going to roar. And a lot of the same hospitality industry that runs Cancun, Los Cabos, right? The Mexicans are expert on tourism and travel. It's a matter of time before Mexican companies are going to be in Havana and the Cuban coast doing the same kind of things they do in Mexico.
Yeah, a lot of Americans would fly over to Havana kind of under the radar screen from Cancun. They would go vacation in Cancun, then they'd do kind of a couple of days over in Cuba.
It's a commuter, so it's the same thing as going from LaGuardia or Kennedy over to Puerto Rico or to the Bahamas.
And the Cubans would not stamp their American passports. It's kind of the kind
That's
of the deal.
Right, Incidentally, this is another thing that's important for your listenership, and that is that today or a couple of days ago, they started the 911 system in Mexico.
Oh, really?
Up until now, it's been kind of a patchwork of 066, and you weren't sure whether that was the same code in another city. Anyway, I think it's an international standard, but in any event, it's now countrywide in Mexico. You're in trouble, you hit 911 on your Mexican cell phone, and I'm pretty sure everything's been programmed now, so the same thing on your American cell.
All right, Keith Rosenblum, always great talking with you. By the way, we heard a little ambulance in the background there, but other than that, the audio quality.
That was one that I had to beat up to get to the phone to call you.
The audio quality is just superb quality. You have a great line there. Are you on a cell phone?
Have me on more often. Quit relegating me to every 2 years.
Okay. Thank you, Keith. Have a good time in Mexico City. Thank you.
All right.
Bye, Bill. Keith Rosenblum, who is in Mexico City. And Keith, we talk with him periodically about the border and Mexico. Certainly, he is very, very knowledgeable in that regard. This portion of the Buckmaster Show, presented by Silver City in Grant County, New Mexico. Great weekend getaway. We've got the holidays coming up. Historic downtown Silver City, a great place to hang out. Just 3 hours east of Tucson. Lots to do in the Silver City area. Some great restaurants. Check out their website, southwestnewmexico.org. On the website, you will find a couple of dozen great places to stay and a like many places to go recreate. So there's great opportunities to have fun. Enjoy Silver City and Grant County, New Mexico. Noble Hops is Tucson's original gastro pub, serving an impressive menu of craft beer and fine fare. Choose from more than 175 beers from around the world, plus wine and a full bar. Enjoy delicious soups, salads, burgers, sandwiches, hearty entrees, and more. Craft beer, fine fare, great service, and stunning views. Noble Hops, perfect for lunch, dinner, happy hour, late night, and any time in between. Open daily at La Cañada and Lambert Lane in Oro Valley.
Traveling is more than just the flight. It's the whole experience. In money saved, in time saved. Almost 60 flights take off every day from Tucson International Airport and announcing the newest destination, New York.
American Airlines, now boarding nonstop to JFK.
Daily nonstop service to New York starts October 7th with connections across the Atlantic and throughout the Northeast. Now with 18 nonstop destinations from Tucson, you can get there from here. Travel smart. Travel TUS and flytucson.com. It's the way to go.
This year, the Regional Transportation Authority celebrates 10 years of delivering projects across our region. More than 755 multimodal projects help you reach your destinations. By delivering both mobility and economic benefits to communities throughout Pima County, the RTA unquestionably makes a difference in our region. Better roads, better transit, better choices, a better future. More at rtamobility.com. Business owners and managers upgrade your workforce through training customized to meet your needs. Pima Community College offers affordable, specialized training for companies large and small. Instruction is delivered how, when, and where you want it, whether online, at your business, or a customized combination. Pima Community College instructors make training relevant with a focus on today's real-world business needs and measurable success. Learn more at 206-6593, 206-6593.
Are you happy with the news you get? While not all news is good news, you know good reporting when you see it. Check TucsonSentinel.com every day for breaking news and investigative reports. Have your say in the comments. It's all in TucsonSentinel.com, your local, independent, nonprofit news. You can rely on TucsonSentinel.com for solid reporting about immigration, Tucson and Pima politics, everything from the border to baseball. It's independent news without the spin. TucsonSentinel.com. We are watching Tucson.
Southern Arizona is home to one of the world's most trusted sources of information on medicines. The Credible Meds website is visited each day by over 2,000 people from more than 60 countries. You too can learn how to personalize your medications and take control of your health care. Visit CredibleMeds.org today and join Bill Buckmaster each month as he and Dr. Ray Woosley, founder of Credible Meds, give you practical tips on how to get the most from your medications.
Hi, Suzanne Miller from your Better Business Bureau serving Southern Arizona, here to remind you to start with trust and look for the BBB accredited seal when searching for a product or service. Did you know you can request a quote directly from any of our accredited businesses? With over 3,000 accredited businesses in Southern Arizona, you will find a business you can trust. Whether you need a product or service from one company or an entire industry, go to tucson.bbb.org and start your search today.
This is Bill Buckmaster. Green Things has been the place for all things green for the Buckmaster household for many years. From 2-inch succulents to 10-foot tall palms and desert trees, Green Things has it all on 13 acres and 33 greenhouses full of plants, pottery, and gardening supplies. Visit Green Things at 3384 East River Road by the Rito Riverwalk and on the web at greenthingsaz.com. All right, welcome back to the Buckmaster Show. Everybody's getting in the holiday spirit with their decorations and the lights. A great time of year, especially out at Tohono O'Chul. And they'll have, speaking of lights, a ton of lights. Michelle Armstrong with us from Tohono O'Chul. Hi, Michelle.
Hi, and over a million, actually, to be a little bit closer than lots.
Well, I saw that on the news release, and I was kind of going, maybe that's a typo. You're saying there's a million?
Over a million, for sure.
What the heck? That's a lot of light.
One of the few times we like doing math.
Oh, my goodness. So they must be from one end of the property to the other.
Oh, absolutely. And it takes them so long to put up all the lights that they start in October. So we slowly have our, you know, holiday nights in October through December.
And holiday nights is a tradition that's been going on for years at Tohono O'Chul Park, and we're glad it has. And it kicks off this weekend.
Yeah, it's one of our signature events, and we host it in the past, maybe Thanksgiving weekend, but we saw no real ticket difference of hosting that or just doing it all December. So we decided to keep it December and the first three Fridays and Saturdays of the month.
What's the plan for each of the weekends?
Well, we always have live music, so the performances change weekly. We also have, you know, magician, we have Cirque Roots, so they're not necessarily music, but they're kind of acrobatic performances in the children's garden. We also have the Garden Bistro that hosts a weekly changed menu, but a buffet. Now, you have to make reservations with them directly, but it's a fantastic buffet, and it sells out every single night that we do holiday nights.
Oh, you've got the menu here in front of me. Of course, it's lunchtime. This especially looks good. I mean, the three weekends, very, very different buffets, which is great. So you're going to have a lot of variety.
Yeah, they like to mix it up. I mean, mm-hmm. it's nice to have your holiday standards, like we were talking about, for Thanksgiving and your staples. But it's an opportunity to integrate some of the produce that's coming out of our ethnobotanical garden and feature more Sonoran desert flavored cuisine.
How about your museum shops? Will they be available for gift giving?
Oh, yeah, it's fantastic.
Gift buying and gift giving.
Yeah, yes. No, our exhibits department is actually hosting a show called 10 by 10, where everything in it is no larger than 10 inches in diameter, and it all is $100. So it's a great opportunity to give, not only support local artists, but give a gift that has some originality to it.
And they're little miniatures.
Oh, yeah. So there's photography, there's ceramics, there's paintings. There's a nice variety of different mediums of art for people to choose from.
Now, the tickets are purchased at the door? Is that the way that works?
At the door and online. Okay. Last year was the first year that we instituted our online tickets through ThunderTix, and that can all be purchased online. And the tickets are actually valid for any of the three weekends. You know, unfortunately, looking at the forecast this morning, we might be having some rain Friday and Saturday, which dampens the opportunity to be outside. But if you were to purchase tickets, you can use them any of the other two weekends.
Well, maybe it won't be much rain, but one thing that has arrived is the chilly weather, which is perfect for your outdoor activity, sipping some hot chocolate and just kind of hanging out. I mean, we want it to be cool and a little chilly, don't we, for Christmas?
Oh, yeah.
I know I do.
It makes it special. And you're walking around and you dress warm. And there's still the opportunity to go inside and some of our venues that we have, you know, harpists playing the following week. In the Lamaki House, we have the exhibit house and the museum shops. Those are all heated. So you can kind of get in there when it's a little too cold for you and then come on out. We have heaters. And it's just a nice, magical time of year.
December 2nd and 3rd, the upcoming weekend, you've got steel drums, jazz, the following week. Weekend, some country stuff going on musically.
Yeah, no, we try to keep it diverse, and you know, there's a lot of opportunity for other beyond our museum shops, other vendors that are there. We have a gentleman who does the little glass figurines, and you can make a request, and he'll make it for you then and there. So that's kind of fun to see and get little trinkets and stocking stuffers.
And of course, there is an ultimate gift of an annual membership to Hona Chul.
I think people forget that that's also a very lovely gift. It's no, you know, jams and jellies of the month. It's a real gift that not only supports a local nonprofit in the community, but it also gives that person outstanding benefits such as free entry into our Sundays in the Garden concert series that happens twice a year, discounts on tickets and classes and tours. So if somebody loves being outside and and connecting with nature, it's a great opportunity.
And I hate to assume anything. I think we should always assume that there are new people who are listening to the program who have never been to Hona Chul, have no idea what it is. So why don't we take a moment, Michelle Armstrong, to explain what we are talking about.
Well, Hona Chul directly translates to corner elbow, but it's more basically corner bend. And we are a botanic garden that houses a museum shop, an art gallery, and a bistro on the corner of, you could say, Paseo del Norte, which is near Einan Oracle. It's a 49-acre nature preserve that focuses on the deserts that would live in the Sonoran Desert. So cacti, succulents, the vegetation, the shrubs, the trees. And we were a nonprofit started in 1985 by Dick and Jean Wilson, who gifted the land to create Hona Chul as a place to meditate and center yourself in the busy hustle and bustle of Tucson.
And the property is their original property.
And that's what's so neat. You can look at some of those Throwback Thursday photos of Dick and Jean Wilson putting in a pool. Granted, you know, I personally wish we still had that pool.
we don't
have it anymore.
Right.
But it's nice to see that it has real history and heritage of a very giving, philanthropic family.
And when that family took over that land, bought that land, it was way out in the desert.
Yeah. Yeah, you look at some of the, it's very sparse when you look at the photos in the 60s. The land was purchased in 1937, changed hands throughout the years. In 1963, came to the hands of Dick and Jean Wilson, and then in 85, they gifted it to Honershill. And back in the day, it used to be the haunted gift or bookshop. So
actually,
a lot of people.
Actually, I remember that. Yeah. I do.
Yeah, a lot of diehard Tucsonans know to Honershill Park because
of the haunted
bookshop.
All right, we're going to wrap it up here. People can find out, our listeners can find out more by going to your website.
Absolutely, and that's a great place to see the entertainment schedule, to see where you would find the menus for the bistro, how you make reservations for the buffet, as well as purchasing tickets.
And that's tohonochulpark.org. That'll get you there. Mm-hmm.
And you can always check our Facebook posts for periodic updates on what's happening. So in case it gets rained out, you know what you can do.
Giving Tuesday is tomorrow. Are you involved with that at all?
Yes. This is our first year. We're really excited because we launched a new opportunity on our website to do digital gifting. So check us out. If whether you support us or another local nonprofit, give and support your community.
It's very important tomorrow. Please give. Thank you very much, Michelle Armstrong, and good luck with this year's holiday nights coming up this weekend. Thank you, Michelle.
Thank you, Bill.
Looking great, and thanks for coming in. All right, coming up this afternoon, Mic Check with Mike Shaw and Ray Allen from 4 to 5, another one of our fine local talk shows. Here we do 3 hours of talk, 6 to 9 on Wake Up Tucson, then 9 to 10 talking culture. So we do 4 hours of local talk in the morning. Midday, we do an hour with me, Bill Buckmaster, and Ray Allen, and we love coming into your homes or your car or your computer, and we really enjoy being a part of Tucson. So on behalf of Mr. Ray Allen, I am Bill Buckmaster. Have a great afternoon and evening.